Blog Talk Radio.
Candidacy preparation training, our weekly gathering for your ordination this 2017 year for the Apostolic Ecumenical Network. Welcome. We're glad you're taking your time out. We appreciate you putting your time in to be a part of these weekly meetings, because important information will be given out weekly. And so we want to make sure that we contact one another and make sure everyone is on the line, because as the time grows nearer, we have a lot of information that we do want to share, a lot of updates that we want to make. We will start this week. I thank all of the accountability partners who have submitted their questions for their candidates. I appreciate your timeliness. Those that haven't, I ask that you do so. Your deadline is on the 23rd, July 23rd. So you want to make sure you get your five questions that will be presented to your candidate for ordination during their examination. Now, this examination will take place at the Hyatt Regency Deerfield during our conference on Friday, so please make a note of it. It will be Friday at 3 o'clock. Friday at 3 o'clock, it will be a part of your candidacy track when you will be set up to go before the council with the questions that your accountability partner has come up for you. And also in all of these examinations, there's always one question that you will receive from the apostle, and everyone is required to answer that question. And at the end of that answering, you write it down and turn it in. The others are actually verbal examinations. We actually will read to you the questions, and you will verbally give us your answer. We've been trying to bring preparation for you by coming up with questions and things that we do on our phone conference. But to start out our Thursday off, we would like to have one of the men of God on the line to open us up in prayer. Amen. Your phones are on speaker, so take them off mute, and then we will be able to hear you.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you have done in the midst of this day that you have given unto us. And Father, as we come together near and far, God, to expound on your words, O Lord, to receive tonight that you touch the mind of each and every one of us, O God, through technology. And we thank you, God, for that which are going to be done. Bless the teaching, bless our gathering, God, so that we may learn, be sharpened to go out and do a will and a work for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We appreciate our participation and stepping up. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, how you will be evaluated. You received email this week from Minister Sharita that had an attachment for the CREST as well as for a form that we will go over, and this is the way your evaluation for your entire process will be made and delivered to your leader and to you. We will talk about that process in a minute. But we do want to start off with our weekly prayer moment from our consecration. Dr. Elder Arlette on the line?
Yes, I am.
Amen. So you can give them their instructions and call them for prayer. For prayer moment.
Well, amen. Well, we have gone through days 14 through 19 at this point, and we have had the opportunity to look at a few more parables and begin to consider our audience, those who have an ear to hear us in terms of our anointing, our calling, and our mission and vision. We should be reviewing our mission and vision daily as we go through the parables so that we can address our moment prayers accordingly. And so if anyone would like to volunteer to give theirs first.
Yes, I will.
Please. Amen.
Okay. I did the one on the midnight. It came from Luke 11, 5 through 8. And mm-hmm. it was spoke about a need for someone else who came at midnight. And he drove this man to his friend's house. And unseemly, at an unseen hour, it was at midnight. But it was a need that was needed to be met. And my prayer was that, Lord, with my lack of, Lord, in every situation I face, I recognize I need you, and I call you for my help comes from you. Lord, with my lack of resources to meet the need of a friend, I ask you, I come boldly and I persistent, I've come boldly before you, and I know that you will make the provision to help them in the time of need. And may you come in many, and you will come in many forms. So you want us to just be boldly to come before you, no matter what situation, to seek you. In the name of God, I use with Jehovah Jireh, you are our provider.
Amen, amen. I would like to share briefly mine, because one of the few days I had off this week, I heard my back door open, and we live in the country. And I heard the back door open, and I didn't think anything of it. And it was my niece. And I was still in the bed. And the first thing that came to my mind was the reading that I literally had that morning, because it was 8:30 in the morning. And this was my day to not do anything. And I literally found myself on duty all day. And she is bipolar. She is a medically retired military at 27. And so I literally found myself on duty all day. And by 11 o'clock, I was in full steam. And I literally went and found my last, three or four retreat folders to get out my Who Am I statement. I got out my statement that I literally found that I had wrote July 17th, 2000. And that's the power of dating some stuff. And I was just, when she saw it, it was just like, wow. And it was that I am fully complete and in Christ statement that we wrote. And it was so funny because I had a different name then. And, you know, she read mine and it's like, that's your middle name? It's like, oh, yes. But I cannot impart the importance of being ready. And that literally was that passage of Luke 12 concerning faithfulness, because I wasn't frustrated because my house wasn't clean or because I didn't have something to feed her, because the Lord made me ready the day before, and he literally will do that for us. And that is why this is just so powerful to be ready, because then I was able to have music on, because one of the things I have done for this consecration is gather worship songs for them. And I was literally able to have music on all day. With her condition, it calmed her, it soothed her, and it was nothing but the grace of God that it was music that she could relate to, as she is from nowhere, Pennsylvania, where literally there were absolutely no African Americans in her high school period. So it was just, anyway, very unique day. But one thing I immediately had to do was acknowledge that he said, and my accountability partner at the time when we used the passage of Psalms 81 was, open up your mouth wide and he will fill it.
Yes, yes.
And it is just, it's his promise from Genesis to Revelation. And one of the things about this consecration will do is it will make you ready. And those of us who believe we are ready, it will take you to a new place. And that is why he calls for accountability partners to be faithful. That's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Any more? And I hope that you are realizing that these parables were to show the disciples this is what the kingdom of God is like. So as
yes.
you're being prepared to minister in the kingdom of God, these are the standards. These are the atmosphere. This is the atmosphere that needs and the mindset that you are to have. You are not your own anymore. Your off days belong to him. Your on days belong to him. All your days belong to him. And that we really don't, and we'll talk more about relationship and ministry at the conference. That's one of the classes that will be presented to you. But as you do these parables, understand it is showing you, oh man, what God is requiring of you and the mindset that you are to have, the heart condition that you are to have, the understanding, the patience, the long-suffering, all of these principles that are lived out in these parables are the things that we are to put on and anything else we are to put off. So do we have one more that would like to share?
I'm Melissa Paulette.
Good evening.
Yes?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me who you are.
This is Elder Yvette. Okay. And I would like to share the parable of the Good Samaritan coming out of Luke, the 10th chapter, the 3 verses to the 37th. And the prayer that I came up with from that was, Father, help me to never become arrogant, prideful, but to think more highly of myself than I ought to, but to remember we are all created in your image and likeness, that if I see my brother down or has been put down, let me have compassion to owe no man but to love. Thus I will never give up on them, care more for others than myself. I will treat them gently, kindly, respectfully, with a spirit of excellence. That's my prayer. And then that parable always makes me think that if you see a need, never that you would just forward and continue on and feel that somebody else can take care of it.
Amen. So do we have a candidate that would like to share?
Yes, Minister Paulette Overseer.
Okay, just tell me your name. Go ahead.
Oh, this was Minister Sharita.
Amen. All right.
Okay, actually mine is the Good Samaritan too, from Luke 10:30-37. And pretty much that scripture talked about how a man, he was coming from Jerusalem and he fell among thieves, and they pretty much stripped him of his clothing and they wounded him, and then they just kind of left him there. And people passed him by, like Levites and priests just passed him by, but it was one person, a Samaritan, that actually came and had compassion on him and helped him. And so my prayer would be, and actually before I say my prayer moment, I actually had an illustration today too, at my job. My boss, he actually got up and he began to tell a story that happened to him on this morning, and it was raining really bad this morning, and he said that he normally brings like two umbrellas, and for whatever reason, he just didn't bring it this particular morning. And so anyway, when he got off the train, he didn't want to get caught in the rain. And he didn't want to really pay for a taxi because it cost too much. And so he wound up going back into the train station and asking one of the people at the front desk if it was possible that he could have an umbrella. They had like an umbrella in a lost and found or something. And she went back to the back area and she found one for him. And so he God had thanked her, and he went out. And so as he was walking on his way to the job, there was a homeless man, and he asked him for some change. And my boss, he began to say, well, normally to himself, he would normally do it, but because he was, like, not in a good mood because he didn't have his umbrella, he just kind of walked past him. But then he thought about it. He said, well, you know what? I didn't have an umbrella. I really needed an umbrella. And somebody gave me this umbrella that, you know, didn't have to do it. And so he went back to the homeless man, and he said, you know what? I don't have any change on me, but, you know, I can buy you something to eat. He said, what would you like? And he said, I just want some chicken strips, and I forgot what else he said, from McDonald's. And he took the homeless man to McDonald's and got him something to eat, and the homeless man thanked him for it. And so my prayer would be to my group, is just to ask God to always keep our hands open and be ready to give. And that's all.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, 1 minute, Elder Parker. But for Minister Sharita, there's several parables that illustration speaks to. That was a wonderful illustration, and we want to see our daily life like this. We want, as we interact with people, as we hear things, we want to be able to associate it with our ministry, with what the kingdom of God is supposed to be about. Okay, Elder Parker.
Good evening, everyone. It said, the friend at midnight. It's in Luke 5-8. As I began to, and when I read that, and I began to compare some things in the world between us, between the spiritual and in the natural, how God working on us and in us, we have to make ourselves available. It's pretty much giving ourselves to God. Lord, make me usable. Now that's my prayer. You know, make me usable, Lord. When He makes me usable, then I can be used. So that was the prayer with that the friend at midnight. You got to be willing to give yourself. We must, you know, being called of God, how Christ gave Himself for us. We must have that heart of wanting to do the same.
Amen. Amen. And I pray that you all are writing them down in your journal, because it's going to be they're going to be used in a powerful setting at the retreat during your last class time before your ordination. They're a preparation for prayer, declaration, and prophetic utterancing to your people group. You're going to declare it and speak it out and send it in the airways. You're going to give the angels the assignment of the words that are coming out of your mouth, of the prayers that came out of your heart from the word of God that you got into to get the understanding of what he wants you to be. So I'm encouraging you, if you haven't done it, then start from day one. We're at day 19, because on Thursdays when we meet, you don't have to have one. And so it gives you opportunity to catch up and be able to do the ones that you may not have done during the week. So we want to continue on in our presentation into the accountability partner presentation for this week. And that would be Minister Kamisha Barrett and Elder Roberta McIntyre in the element of accountability of mutual growth. Elder Deborah, if you're on the line, did you want to kind of get the introduction for them? I have to make sure everybody's off speaker. I mean, it's on off speaker, so you just have to take your phone off mute.
Okay, thank you. Sorry it took so long. Overseer, you know what? I was under the impression we were doing accountable to God. I did not review the mutual growth. So if, I can say something extemporaneously, but we have so many people on the line and so many candidates, I don't want to just do that as a placeholder. I actually thought the scripture was accountable to God. So that was the one that I had kind of reviewed, and I don't have any other materials where I am to even look and tell you, you know, what that mutual growth. Go ahead.
Right. I'm sure they're here. They're on the line to share. I just didn't know if you wanted to give the introduction as to focus them on their sharing. That's all.
Well, do you mean on the particular scripture of mutual growth, or do you mean in general just the account? That's kind of where I was going. I'm not quite feeling you.
Right. It's just in general. But, you know, they can just do their presentation. Either way, it's fine.
Okay. Well, one thing that I will say is that with the topic, not the topic of accountable with God, but the topic of mutual growth, that I am hoping that as both parties go through this process, that we understand that this is not a partnership where one person comes and the one person, you know, one person is the teacher, one person is the student. That whole, the equity in the relationship, the whole mutualness, regarding growth, there should be a stretching from the accountability partner as well as the candidate. It shouldn't be a one-sided event. So I hope that if the structure of your relationships have been such, if you're a candidate, please reach out to your accountability partner other than just I'm checking in. You know, let them know what the Lord has given you for them, because I believe that God is speaking to both sides of the equation. And likewise, in the case of the accountability partners, that it's not just, you know, don't turn into a talking head to your candidate. You know, receive what they're saying and listen for what the Holy Spirit is giving you for them in this hour. Amen?
Amen. So as that will, you ladies like to start your presentation, Minister Kamisha?
Yes, absolutely. Good evening, everyone. Just everything that has began this call speaks volumes to the assignment that both myself and my accountability partner have as far as the mutual growth. And the proverb reads, it's 27 and 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another. And I came from the perspective of just the mutuality in the growth, which puts you in the mindset of this being absolutely and utterly relational. Defining mutual, meaning reciprocal, interchanged, each person acting in return or corresponding to the other, given and received. And the second definition was the growth, which would be the advancement and the progress and the improvement. And so in looking at this scripture in particular, when myself and my accountability partner were talking about it, I immediately drew towards the relational aspect. And even this part of ordination and what we are going through and understanding, number one, we're not doing this alone and or by ourselves, and the importance of the interdependence on each other instead of independently working separate from one another. And I was just saying that how we must understand that, of course, the greatest experience that we're going to have is the growth and development that we're going to experience together as we relate and do life one with another. Another thing that came out of this when we were talking was this speaking volumes to a symbiotic relationship, which simply means, again, just being interdependent on one another. And I found that here, with such dependency, this creates a unified body. I took from Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, where it states, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And for where two or more or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. So even in talking about that, we see even Christ understands the power of coming together, standing together mutually, but not just being mutual in that sense, but being unified in mind and working within a unified purpose for a desired outcome. And so even with us progressing towards elevation and ordination and consecration and the prayers and things, even with what Overseer was sharing towards the end of how everything that we have written and what we will come to share, how those things will be spoken, because that is us actually sharpening one another. I also think it speaks to us and how influential we are with one another, which then begins to speak to the fellowshipping, how we commune with one another, how we do life together as believers. And I took a part from Acts chapter 2, just a part where it was talking about how the believers had begun to come together from verses 46 through 47. And it says, day after day, they met in the temple, continuing in one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all the people. And because of this, and the Lord kept adding to their number, there is absolutely nothing that I believe that we can do one without the other. And so I'm going to let my accountability partner, Elder McIntyre, just talk a little bit more about the influential aspect of this proverb.
Good evening. Okay, I came from the aspect of the iron. And iron is hardness, firmness, is one of the elements that represent immutability and rigid strength. So in coming from that I looked at you are steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. And that is applying to the will that the scripture is applying. I took it as applying to the will. Let iron sharpen iron, and so let a person sharpen his friend. And the idea is that people grow from interaction with one another. The best team sharpens their members through the process of working together. If our minds are saturated with God's word and submissive to his thoughts, it is of my opinion that if we allow Holy Spirit to saturate our minds with the word of God and become submissive to his thoughts, we will become the iron that God desires us to be in order to sharpen others as he desires that individual to become sharpened. And I looked at 2 Peter 1:5-8, and I said that we need to have good character, not just an outward technique, but inner reality. And the idea is not to conform others to our image, but help them to become conformed to God's image. If we have taken on, now this is a the true spiritual and character transformation, which takes place from the inside out, not outside in, and flows from the life of Christ that has been implanted within us, we will have the ingredients along with wisdom to be an iron sharpener. And these attributes, I believe, are faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And that's
Amen. It is such a powerful time when we come together sharing. I thank all of you for the investment you are making in yourselves, in your ministry, and in God's kingdom. And we are blessed because of it. So we look forward to next week, where it's either Pastor Harrington and Elder Deborah. That's when we, next week is the one about accountability to God. That's our next week. So forgive me, Elder, I was jumping a week ahead of time. Okay, so we have anybody that was interested in bringing forth teaching from the prophetic preparation that was given to us by Prophet Mike of Noah Assignment, the Provision, the Passion of the Garment. Remember, you can text me and let me know that you would like to share. And we're asking that Minister James Smith bring us that perspective as it relates to the garments on next week. Minister Smith will bring us that perspective of that scriptural preparation for ministry from the prophetic word of Prophet Michael Henderson. Amen. So this week we want to give you some details and pray that any time we come together, you have brought your any email documents that were sent to you so that you can review them as we speak, and your notebooks so that you can write updates in them. And again, we would like to, those that are sending out invitations, ask you to use the heading that is given in the announcement actually for the conference itself. It is being presented by LFCAEN, and that's who is conferring your information upon the ordination elevation upon you. It is going to be at the Hyatt Regency and in Deerfield, Illinois. It will take place on Saturday. Again, that's Saturday, August 19, 2017, at 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. And the banquet for the service is immediately following the consecration ordination. So that information you may want to put in a invitation form to send to your family and your friends to invite them to come. The cost of the banquet, the only ticket, is $35 per person. And so you want to be sure to let them know that. We also want to remind you that you need to invite a person to speak on your behalf at the actual elevation service. We are asking them to limit their presentation to 2 minutes, and this person should be one who can testify to the calling on your life in the area to which you are being elevated. And we do like to remind you to tell your guests, any women that will be taking part in any service and in speaking on your behalf, we ask that they do not wear pants. Do not wear pants. So we also have some information for those that are being ordained and conferred on in the area of a teacher. You will be receiving an academic stole. That stole is at a cost of $50. And you pay your $50, the stole will actually be presented to you at the conference. So you won't have to get it ahead of time. It will be a part of the garments that are being consecrated and dedicated, and it will be bestowed upon you, providing you pay your $50. This academic stole is also available, and at the consecration will be placed on any ordained clergy by AEN in the past that have been ordained into that office of the teacher. So again, if as the accountability partnering or the committee members or anybody that has been ordained by AEN in the past, and they've been ordained in the area of teaching minister, teaching elder, as a teacher, into the office of teacher, they will also receive the academic stole at that time. Again, the cost is $50. Now, also a part of your garment is the ministry patch that is affixed to your tippet. It's affixed to your tippet. That ministry patch for AEN, LFC, is at a cost of $25. You must pay the $25, and you will receive the patch ahead of time because the patch has to be affixed to your tippet. That is the garment that goes around your neck and hangs down in the front, and it has to be affixed to that, so you need it ahead of time before you bring your garments in. You can affix it with all kinds of sewing apparatus things, or pin if you're a straight pin, or they stitch witchery. They have all kinds of things that you can use to affix it to your tippet. It's approximately, I'll say, 4x4. It's a square, and it is the crest of the AEN. And that is what we're going to go through this evening. You've been sent a picture of it, and Bishop is on the line preparing to go through all of the elements on this crest. It was it's a part of your ministry preparation is to think about what it is you want to be your brand. So when people see this, they think that's Labors for Christ. So you can see the picture of a golden shell, you think of the Shell Gas Company. That's their logo. Well, this is the crest that you will come up with, and you will also see during the retreat, in the opening session, we have what is called the March of the Ministries. All of the ministries and churches and organizations that are affiliated with the AEN, they have their crest. They're put on banners, if you will, and those banners are up for display. So when you see them, they'll be up and down the hall as well as doing an actual procession. They will procession in at the opening of the conference. And so we want you to be aware of what this is, how it comes about, and how it is created, because you yourself should start doing this. It can be what you use on your letterhead. It could be a part of your material. Anytime you have written material, your book covers, whatever, it can be a part of that, so because it is representing you. You can also get a patch representing your own ministry or your own church. LFC Word Life Center has a patch. They also have a pin. That pin goes on your tippet as well. The tippet is a symbol of who you're serving, and it's around your neck because it's a part of, you know, what you bear on your shoulders, the responsibility and the service to these ministries, organizations, churches, and so it is a part of your garment, your vestment. So are there any questions?
Yes, any questions? Overseer.
Yes, tell me who you are.
This is Minister Kaita.
Okay.
I wanted to know if the banquet tickets for kids are the same cost.
Okay, depending on if the children are over 12, it's the same cost. If they're under 12, contact me.
Okay.
Okay.
And I had this is Elder.
Yes.
I have a question. There is a pen.
Yes.
I can't remember how it looks, but every time I see it, I say, oh, I want one of those, but I don't know. How do you get the pen?
The pins. Now we have pins for Labors for Christ, and we get it from our ministry. I mean, these are all things that you can have made. If you want one for your church or your ministry, there are companies that do that, and Apostle can give you the information of the ones that we use for this ministry. But that's where they come from. Sometimes, if it's something that is a part of the LFC ministry, okay, and Bishop can help me out with this one. I'm not sure if they have for the ministry. Bishop?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, maybe it's CCTI in the church. Is that it?
You talking about badges or pens?
Pens.
It's a round pen.
There's pens. I think there was the Word Life pen, and there was a CCTI pen.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, unless the apostle.
Bishop, if you can look into if there's an interest, okay, we can make those available for you. Either at the meet and greet or at the conference itself. So if that's something that you're interested in, oh, thank you so much. Pastor Marnette brought me one, and I need to put my glasses on to see it. It's beautiful, too. Yes, that's the Christian Counseling Center and Labor's Christ Word Life Center. Those are the two pins that are on it. The patch is on it that is also the AEN patch, and then the Labors for Christ ministry patch. And those that, I know some people say, well, am I a part of this or am I a part of that? I'm trying to put it on to try to see how it goes here. As an ordained member, you are a part of the AEN. You are a part of Laborers for Christ Ministry. CCTI is something you would have to have gone to classes through CCTI to be a part of that. And obviously, Laborers for Christ, Word Life Center, you have to be a member of the church itself. So everyone is entitled to the patch. Really very beautiful. One patch is not square, it's round. Laborers for Christ Ministry patch is round. And then there are different forms. And we'll bring one to the meet and greet. So if there is an interest, you can we can document that interest and we'll see what we can do with that. Now, one of the things is, and when you affix your patch to your ticket, your patches go on the right side. Your patches go from your arm. When you lay your arm down, from arm length down goes your patches. Your pins go on your chest, so they're further up. And so we'll show you so that you can see illustrations of them. But just so that you know and know that the cost involved in them, the stole, the academic stole, goes underneath the tippet. And so those are ordained teachers. That's pretty much what it's going to look like for you. Any questions? Any other questions?
Yes, it's Minister Katie. So you're not talking about you're not talking about the gold one that we received in CCTI, right? You're talking about the one for teachers, right?
Well, no, yes, this is different. That was what you got in CCTI. That was when you graduated from there. This is these souls are because you were ordained. This is the academic ordination of a teacher. So it is separate from your just plain academic souls from graduation, getting certificates, degrees, and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's two different things.
So you say you will have them at the event on the 28th so we can see and distinguish.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So whatever interest you might have, you know, just make it known on the 28th. We'll have something there so you can see what it is, how it looks. And then you can understand that even as you pack, you know, because you'll get this, your patch. If you don't get it ahead of time, which you would have to come to the church to do that, so it's not like you can just, you know, we're not going to send it in the mail. But to pick it up, you'll actually have to put it on your tippet before you turn your garments in. And garment turn-in time to register and bring your garments in at the conference will be from 8 to 9 on Thursday and Friday. Any other time has to be pre-arranged. I repeat that. It has to be pre-arranged before the conference starts on Thursday. If you know you absolutely cannot get it there, then we should be informed and we can tell you your alternative. Other than that, everybody must register and turn your garments in between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Friday morning. By Friday noon, it is absolutely too late. So, any garments that are going to be bestowed upon you, we must have in our possession, signed in by you, initialed by the ministry, by no later than noon on that Friday. Any questions?
Overseer is Pat Murphy.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a couple of questions. I think I heard you say, that the stole would be worn under the tippet. Is that true?
Uh-huh.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
So when I have my tippet on already, I will take it off and hold it, and while I'll add it to stole.
Actually, whoever is dressing you knows exactly what to do, and all you have to do is stand there and let it happen.
So they'll be informed at the conference.
They will know who the person that is going to dress you knows exactly what you need. They know exactly what you're going to have on, and they'll know exactly how to put it on.
Okay. Neither of the people that are dressing me don't have ever done this before. So that's why I'm asking, will they be informed at the conference? My other question, I still don't know the answer to that.
Okay, but the thing is, if they've never done it before and they're doing it, then you should have turned us something in to us with that information, and then they would be informed.
Oh, I should have done it already? Okay, I'll get that as soon as I didn't know that there was a time. But I will get that to you.
We would definitely have to have any written information needs to get to us in enough time for us to be able to process it according to our procedures. So we had asked, even on your registration things, if you had someone you want to be a part of your consecration, we need you to let us know.
Okay.
And remember,
I'll get it done, Overseer. I'll get it done.
I'm sorry?
Soon. I'll get it done soon.
And remember, even though it may be people on your team that's never done it before, they're still going to be working with the team that has done it before, and all of it will be under the direction of Apostle. And so she will be able to navigate and direct them as to exactly what to do. And all you got to do is just receive from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay. The other question I have is about the placement of the press. I think I heard you say that they'll be on the right side. Pardon me?
No, go ahead.
Overseer, I think I heard you say that they'll be placed on the right side. Does it begin at the fingertip or end at the fingertip? I'm going to start at the bottom and come up. And previously, I was going through my notes that it was on the left that your ministry, so for me, Loving You to Life was on my left, and Laborers for Christ, I believe, was on my right. At that time, I had CCTI, but definitely here nor there. So everything now will go on the right side.
No,
and
I didn't
start at the bottom.
No, I didn't say everything. I said the patch you were getting from us, that's where it needs to go.
Okay.
That's the AEN.
I did make sure that.
That's all I was addressing, was the patch that you're buying and receiving from us. That's where it needs to be placed.
Okay. So if we have a ministry patch, it would go on the left or it would go above the AEN?
It would go on
if
the left over your heart. If you have a ministry such as Center
Loving
for Reconstruction, Loving You to Life, that would go over your heart because that's the ministry that, that's over your heart. That you tend to. Any other patch, like from any other organization, Join College, AEN, that would go on your right.
Okay, thank you.
Now, the pins is the new thing for me, so I'm not really clear at this moment how that works. So, you know, as we get more information, I mean, right now in this house, we put the pins on the tippet.
Thank you. Bishop, are there any more questions? And I know for a lot of people this may be a lot of information. Again, you need to really come out to the meet and greet. A lot of things will be made very clear. You'll have illustrations, and you'll be able to get a more personal understanding of all of the things that are going on, because we understand this is a lot of information. And sometimes it's very difficult to get it over a telephone. But good questions. Are there any more questions or inquiry? Okay. Well, prayer for this leads us up to, we'll do the crash, and we'll just look at the evaluations on next week. But I do encourage you to keep them, read through them. So if you have questions as I go through how your entire process is going to be evaluated and what is done with that evaluation, you can be prepared to do that on next week. But right now we'll give the floor up to Bishop, who will share to us the crest for the Laborers for Christ Apostolic Ecumenical Network. Bishop.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Good evening to everybody in your designated places. We are just so excited about what God is doing in your life and just really excited. I know she was spending some time on the tippets, and honestly, that's probably an important piece of your garments, because once again, it signifies to others what jurisdiction you operate of. And so if the tippet would kind of be like the shield of a warrior, if you will, your shield. And so as we're looking at the crest, typically what happens was when there's a difference between the coat of arms and your crest. And so your coat of arms would typically be something personal that represents you, represents your ministry, it represents your life, it represents your family. And so these are particular elements that would be on a coat of arms. Originally, knights would wear the coat of arms on their shoulder, and they would have their shield or their crest on their shields, actually. They would have their crest on the shield so that when they was going into war, the other team or the enemy would know who they are representing. Thus, you have your tippet. When people see the tippet, they know where you have authority at, what ministry you are that's covering you, what represents, and things of that nature. They used to do with shields and crests, or coat of arms and crests. They used to, like the coat of arms used to be inside of the shield. Under different ruling within the Catholic Church, they deemed that it was no longer appropriate to do something like that. But as we move forward through grace, once again, it's just to educate you so that when you are sitting in the midst of the company of many different faiths that have crests, tippets, you would understand the history and not feel like you're lost and you don't know what's going on. So your crest becomes important. And one of the reasons why it is important, because it, once again, represents who's covering you, where you have authority to exercise your gifts. And so Laborers for Christ, the Ecumenical Network, I don't know if you all have a picture of it, and I'm not sure if it's in color. I'm looking at a color one, so I would definitely point to, if you have questions, let me know. Laborers for Christ, the AEN's crest meaning, it lies solely in the value and significance of the symbols that lie within. So any crest that is designed, you know, typically the designer will ask you, what is it that you want inside of your crest? Because you want symbols that definitely speak to your ministry, speaks to your life, speaks to your heart, speaks to anything that's very important to you. And usually it takes time. You just don't want to throw anything up there. You really want stuff that represents you, and you want that to be clear. Matter of fact, we just got the Center for Reconstruction's crest done, and we done went through, God forgive us, at least 3 templates of it. I had one vision. My wife had another. You know, we tore some stuff off of that, and we finally got it done, and we got stuff up there that we both appreciate and can always speak to and defend. And so when you're looking at this AEN crest, one thing that's going to pop out first are the use of colors, okay? The colors are symbolic. Whether we want to believe this or not, I know we heard in the church, it don't take all of that, it ain't that deep. Well, here's a newsflash, folks. It really is that deep. Everything has significance. Even the cologne perfume that you wear, everything you do, every movement, you know, every body movement has significance. Therefore, every color has significance, okay? And so it signifies the richness and the depth of the relationship. Color represents the richness and depth of the relationship between God and man. So the thought is, the richer the color, the more depth there is to the relationship, meaning or significance. So, for instance, within this crest, there's purple, and it symbolizes Jesus' royalty and priesthood, as well as our kingdom authority due to our sonship inheritance, and that's according to Revelations 5 and 10. Red is a symbol of red. Does everybody have a – was it sent out in colors over there, or –
No. Say again.
Okay. Was it set? Was the crest sent out in color to them, or
yes on
it was.
Everything?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Full color, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. And so you see the red. The red is a symbol of Christ's love and life as shown on the earth through His blood atonement sacrifice. And the blood redeems, the blood cleans, the blood justifies us from sin. And there's red that you'll see around Laborers for Christ, as well as the Apostolic Ecumenical Network, as well as the mitre, which is, and the cope. And you'll see that. The mitre is the hat, the symbol that is in between the cross and the crozier. That's the mitre, and that's red and gold. And there's a red cope, as well as gold cords, okay? And so that's what the blood represents. So when you see the purple, it's royalty. When you see the red, it's going to represent the blood atonement sacrifice. And so when you look at it, you should always be reminded that through Christ's sacrifice, all my sins have been covered. I have been cleaned. There is nothing that I can do that will stain that. And the gold that you see, the gold trimming of the letters, as well as the mitre and the cords, it signifies the deity and the glory of God through the eternal Godhead, which is pure in its divine holiness, majesty, righteousness, and power. So gold is often symbolized with the Holy Spirit. So when you see that, it's so they would dip wood, like from the Ark of the Covenant, in gold, which symbolizes wood, symbolizes humanity, and the gold symbolizes God's divine holiness, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, as we focus our attention to the center of the crest, the gold cross, once again, is the message of the church for the salvation of the world in Christ. Hello? Okay. The gold cross represents, once again, the message of the church, salvation of the world. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It is also the place where your will submits to God's will. The gold crozier, or the shepherd's crook or staff, and typically has a nook on most croziers. It is a symbol of the pastoral office and authority to shepherd the flock of God or episcopal jurisdiction. Okay? The mitre, which is the head garment, and that's once again between the cross and the crozier, it symbolizes holiness, righteousness, and authority. It also symbolizes an ear to hear with the Holy Spirit, or the cloven tongues, falling upon the individual's head in regards our apostle. Okay? And so Christ, who is the high priest, now check this out, Christ, who is the high priest and head of the church, controls the body of Christ. The high priest does not wear the mitre, okay? Christ doesn't wear a mitre. But those who hold responsibility of leadership, we do, okay? The mitre is typically worn on the following offices, the apostle, archbishops, bishops, okay? The mitre also symbolized subjection to Christ as he subjected himself to the Father and the Father's will. Now, the cope, or the cape that's on this crest, it is accompanied by the mitre. It is a symbol of the apostolic mantle that covers those under the apostolic ecumenical network. So the color red, and I also told you it represents the blood, but it also represents the sacrifice that that individual gone through. And so, there's like, once again, I told you, the deeper the color, the closer in relationship to God it is perceived. So when you see red, it automatically lets you know that this person has submitted their life totally to the Father. They cease to exist. And they have been through some things, and they have some testimonies that they can share with you that would coincide with that red. And so it's humbling, you know. And so it speaks about the mantle that they walk. Now, the Bible states, and that you see, that there's this three-strand cord is not easily broken. And so the threefold cord, it symbolizes the eternal Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We say Godhead, which is, we also use the term the Trinity. The Bible says Godhead, the Bible speaks to the Trinity, okay? The 3-4 quarter also symbolizes the apostle and the apostolic network community, okay? God, the apostle, and then us as the body as well. In God's eyesight, every soul is valuable. And we need to know that, okay? There was also in this crest, in the middle of the cope, there is the broken vessel, and it symbolizes humility and servitude. Therefore, we are vessels sanctified, used by God for every good work as he pours us out as a drink offering to the world, nations that he loved. God so loved the world that he gave. And so we are broken vessels used to allow God to pour whatever he puts in us, that new wine, if you will, or the water of life in us, and we pour it out to the rest of the world. And so when you see that symbol, it should automatically open up something in you to say, I can sit down and have a conversation with all religions because I'm prepared, or mostly I am persuaded in my faith. Okay, and therefore we are vessels sanctified, used for God for every good work as he pours us out as a drink offering to the world that he loves. Now there's the Ark of the Covenant, and it represents God and the covenant made between God and his people that he would be forever present with them and be their God. Okay, it was placed in the tabernacle where the blood was placed on the mercy seat. So, I mean, if you ever get a chance to see the Ark of the Covenant, you understand that there's two angels, and then there's there's blood actually on this symbol here in between, which means when God is forever, his eyes is forever facing the blood. If God was to take his eyes off of the blood and look at us, we probably will not like him. And so we want God to forever look at the mercy. Oh, man. I just had to shout this for a moment. Forgive me. We want God to look at the mercy seat that's between the angels. If he keeps his eyes on the blood, if he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Because remember, God doesn't deal kindly with sin. And so anytime sin is in the presence of God, it is in his nature to automatically eradicate it. Nothing personal. That's just how he operates, which is why we want him looking at the blood, okay? And it's placed between the two cherubims by the high priest, which is Christ Jesus, to make atonement for our sins. And then there's the wooden cross again. The wooden cross, now that goes between the cleft. It leaves the Ark of the Covenant, and it, you know, it's kind of like a bridge within that cleft, as you see it. And the wooden cross is made out of wood, or the cross-bridging man. It symbolizes the process of God bringing humanity into relationship with himself through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which was the final atonement for our sin, which brings, and here's the terms that you were working on, redemption, justification, reconciliation to man. So, you know, understand what those words mean. They're just not words, but they have power, and that's the best way to sum them up. That's why we had you do the Defenders of the Faith for some of you, okay? And therefore, there's tablets. The Ten Commandments or the law has been fulfilled, and it establishes the new covenant, okay? And those are the elements that's within that, just the middle of the crest. Now, on the side of the crest, there are two banners, which reflects God's power and presence, and it's positioned on both sides. The banner on the right houses the, well, the banner on the left, actually, if you're looking at it, the banner at the left, it houses the lion, which represents the Lion of Judah, dauntless courage, bravery, strength, and valor. You should also see next under the lion an olive branch. It symbolizes peace, harmony, reconciliation, or restored back to God. We are at peace. The gavel, as you see, which falls under the olive branch, it acknowledges God's judgment and authority. The dove is the Holy Spirit. The shofar reminds us of the admonitions of the prophets and their calls of repentance. It also represents winds of change and the breath and life of God in the earth, and time, which denotes the season. You see the hourglass with the sand in it, but it represents time. It denotes seasons of change, the ripening of the harvest, and most importantly, that the rapture and the day of the Lord is near. Okay? Now, the banner on the other side, if you're facing it, which would be your right, it houses the eagle, which is God's prophetic office released in the earth. The fire symbolizes that God is consuming fire that purifies us wholly, and the zealousness within the believer. The axe symbolizes that God demands us to cut sin at its roots and or execution of military duty. Okay? The scrolls, it always represents the word of God, his deeds, decrees, and covenants, and revealed mysteries given to us through the apostles and prophets. Now, the record book of God is the book that's underneath the, there's the harp. I'm going to get to that too. The record book of God of those who have been appointed to eternal salvation, and then there's the harp, which is above the book. It is a symbol of harmony, okay? And then there is the, no, I'm sorry, that all of that was the scroll. And then there's last, the Bible, which symbolize that this book is the only manual that governs our lives. And so that is the symbols that's on the crest. Once again, I know it's intense, and it's three banners, actually, representing three different colors. There's the red for the blood. There's the purple that overlays the green, everlasting, then the red, once again, the blood. And so these are the symbols of the banner. We also have another. We have the ecumenical globe. You may see that picture at the conference. And it's going to say Labors for Christ Apostolic Ecumenical Globe, where it says the water is the love of God that bridges all of us together, our common thread. Labors for Christ Apostolic Ecumenical Globe symbolizes that we understand the need for kingdom building and have been compelled by the prophetic voice of God and his apostolic order to reach the expanse of the globe, okay, to build and unify the kingdom. Because every individual needs water. It is our common thread, and it represents the love of God that bridges all of us, okay? And you'll see symbolized by different religious faiths or interfaith. And so, once again, the mission is to go into the world and make disciples. Those are the symbols of the crest and the globe.
Bishop, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In the AEN crest, there are words on the. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Katie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So there are words written behind the mitre, the crozier, on the purple background.
Right.
Did you say what that is or what it says?
No, it's always Greek writing. I can't remember what the Greek writing was. I know it was. I can't remember what it symbolized at this moment, but I definitely get that into you, because it was a certain scripture, and I can't remember which one it was.
Okay.
But it's Greek writing. You're going to see the letters written in Greek behind her. And I got to find out what scripture that one is and actually incorporate that.
All right. Any more questions, comments, inquiry? Wow. As to what you're going to do, how you're going to prepare your own? All right. Well, if there be no more questions, Bishop, anything else you'd like to share with him?
No. I think that was the crux of it. And again, wear it proud and be excited that you are part of not only this family, but God's family. And as we band together and unify, it'll begin to expand. It'll change the face of this earth.
I have a question, Member Capella, Zelda Burda. The information that you gave us, Bishop, is this in writing? I mean, is it in our, laborers, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you what it is.
Well, you know what, Elder Roberta,
uh-huh.
This is wonderful. As a member of the AEN, this is in writing. It is fully detailed as a part of the organization that you are a part of. And we will present that to the candidates during the conference as they fill out their application to become a member of the AEN. Yes, it is in writing. Yes, it is available. And it has been distributed on numerous occasions through the AEN. So that's where you would find it. Not so much sexual relational, not there, not the Ladies for Christ ministry, but strictly through the AEN newsletter and the AEN manual.
Mm-hmm. Right. Trump. And definitely. And once again, you know, it's important to know the symbols, because like in the globe would look like it's something secular, but yet, you know, that's not the intent and the heart of this ministry. And all the symbols that you see on that crest is just a portion, if I can kindly say that, of what lies in the apostle that we are all under. Just a portion of just the things that God has endorsed in her life. And I'm saying just a portion. You know, and yeah, just a portion. This is a portion.
Amen. Amen. All right, Bishop. Wonderful job in sharing. There's a lot of exciting things that are out there available to you. Come to the meet and greet, and you will be exposed to many of the ministry opportunities and ministry resources that are available to you and available to your ministry. Amen. Any more questions? Any other concerns? There's somebody that's not on. I'm sorry. 3090. Any questions or comments? All right. So if not, we will all heads and hearts humbled before the Lord as Bishop gives us our closing prayer, and we will meet back again next week. Praise the Lord.
All right. Heavenly Father, once again, God, we love you, oh God. We thank you for every opportunity, oh God, to just lie before you, to sit at your feet, to learn of your wisdom, oh God. Thank you for every special blessing, oh God, that you have released to your people, oh God, in their time, oh God, of prayer and consecration, oh God, and devotion to you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for releasing new mysteries and answers to age-old questions, oh God, that will catapult them into the next place where they need to be, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, for every opportunity to learn and come together. You told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves. And therefore, God, we love you, oh God, and we love one another, oh God. For those who are traveling, oh God, we thank you for traveling graces as well as mercies to and fro to their destinations, Heavenly Father. Oh God, we pray for every individual, God, and we cover their house, oh God. We even thank you, oh God, that your enabling power, your grace is sufficient, oh God, to manifest, oh God, and heal us, oh God, in every area, facet that is possible. God, you are a great God, and the banner over us is love. So we thank you for your crest of love that you have put upon us even now. Thank you for the visionary, oh God, as she moves forward in you, oh God, and we just thank you, oh God, for the years, oh God, and we celebrate her, oh God, as even her birthday's coming up, oh God, and we thank you, oh Heavenly Father, for all that she does, oh God, and we pray, oh Heavenly Father, that love, oh God, would be reciprocated in such a big way, oh God. Thank you for the overseer who gives oversight, oh God, to the rest of us, oh God, and what direction we need to go. Thank you for every component, every doctor, minister, elder, oh God, that is a part of this network that will help bring your kingdom to this world. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. In the church,
then.
Amen.
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 All right, good night, all.
And so it is.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.